Jesus was more than just a good teacher. He was the very Son of God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reveals the true identity of the most prominent figure in human history.
Someone that's abiding in Christ, they want others to know Christ. It's not foreign to them to talk about Jesus. If you get up every day and read the sports page and you're following what the Lakers are doing or who got traded, you're going to talk about sports. But if every day you're reading the Word of God and praying and listening to the Spirit of God, it's not going to be weird to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ.
The name Jesus Christ has caused more comfort as well as controversy than any other name in history. And yet, why is this? The answer is found in the unique claim that he made. He declared himself to be God in the flesh. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In today's series entitled Jesus Is, we'll discover that Jesus is more than just an inspiring leader. He is the reason for our very existence. Stay with us to find out how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Jesus is Our Strength.
Over the course of the last few weeks, we've been learning that revival is not about a destination, it's about a person. It's not about going somewhere or learning something. It's about drawing closer to someone, and that someone's name is Jesus Christ. And we've learned that the Christian life is about Jesus living his life through us. For example, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Or through me, and the life which I now live by faith, I live by faith in the Son of God. So Jesus Christ living his life through us. That's the essence of the Christian life. And in John 15, we see that Jesus describes this life of Christ through us as Jesus being the vine and we being the branches, and that our sustenance and nutrients and power for living the Christian life come through Jesus Christ, the vine, to us as the branches. Now, in chapter 14, Jesus had been preparing the disciples for the fact that he was going to leave them. And he told them in chapter 14 that if he left them, speaking of his death, burial, and resurrection, that he would leave for them the Comforter. Somebody tell me who the Comforter is. The Holy Ghost. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will leave the Holy Ghost with you. And he was explaining to them how that the Holy Ghost would be with them and would live through them. After speaking to them about the Holy Ghost, in the last verse of chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus simply says, "Arise and let us go hence." And so they're going to leave the place known as the upper room, and they're going to walk now all the way to Gethsemane. And as they're walking to Gethsemane, they're going to pass a place known as the Kidron Valley. And I believe, as you'll notice on this map, the walk is going to take them round the city of Jerusalem and all the way over ultimately to the Garden of Gethsemane in the upper right portion. But on their way, they're going to walk past the Kidron Valley. This was a place that was known to have had many different orchards and vineyards along the way. And so it is believed by some that as Jesus was walking with his disciples and as they saw these vineyards, he used them as an illustration. And he said to them, even as the vineyard, even as we see the vine and we see the branches, he said, "I'm going to be your vine and you are going to be the branches who flow forth from me." And this was the relationship that he wanted to leave with them. That even though he would be ascending to heaven, that he would still flow strength through them, he would still be with them. And so let's learn a few principles today from the vine and from John chapter 15 concerning Jesus Christ as our strength. Now notice, if you would, this morning, the source of our strength. The vine is the source of our strength. And I want you to see verse 1. It simply says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now the vine is the source, and Jesus refers to himself as the true vine. Did you see that in verse 1? I am the true vine. The adjective true is a distinguishing adjective. Even as Jesus in other gospels had referred to himself as the true light or the true bread, he wants us to know he's not just another religion. He's not just another vine. He is the true vine. Now, how many of you know there are many religions in the world today? And some would say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. Just believe something and really believe it, and you're going to be okay. But I say to you this morning that the object of your faith is more important than your faith in the object of your faith. And here we see that Jesus is quantifying, I am the true vine. And Jesus said there are many different types of religions, but he said, I am the true vine. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He is the source. And so we see the vine is the source of life, and we see the branch is servant to the vine, that we are flowing forth from the vine. And in this context, it would be the disciples who are the branches, and they are no longer to see themselves as connected to Israel in the first place, or connected to the religion of the Jews, if you will. But now Jesus said, you are connected to me as the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. And so we must always remember this, and this is very simple, but the source of our life comes from Jesus, who is the vine. And we must remember, we are not the vine. And sometimes we try to be the vine. Sometimes we try to make all the decisions. We think if we work hard and if we plan hard and if we push our way through, then we can make things happen. But Jesus says very clearly, without me, you can do nothing. Okay? He is the source of our power, our strength, our nutrients. Don't be the vine, ladies and gentlemen. Let Jesus be the vine. And whenever I've tried to be the vine, I find that not only do I fail, but I run out of energy, I run out of wisdom. It can't be done if it's in my strength. Eternal truth can only happen, can only be lived out if it's in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the source of our strength is Jesus, who is the vine. Notice secondly, the sustaining of our strength. Now, God wants our lives to bear fruit, to bear much fruit, to bear fruit over the course of our lifetime. And I'm going to tell you that if you would ever study the vineyards, whether it's in Napa Valley or wherever else, if they are not tended to, they will become fruitless. Sometime when you're driving down to the Ontario airport, it's hard to imagine that all the way down along that Highway 15 corridor, on both sides, down there in Rancho Cucamonga and some of that area, it was all vineyards at one time. And then suddenly the property became more valuable than the farmer's crop was. And so instead of really bringing forth the crop, the farmers began to sell the property. And in the process of escrow and all these other things, they just let the vines go. And what happens? When a vine is just let go, it begins to have all different types of branches, both dead and alive. It begins to have all different types of problems with the bark and sometimes even insects that will come and take over. And without the purging and cleaning process, the vine becomes worthless. The vine becomes fruitless. And so God says, if you're going to sustain as a vibrant branch, then there's going to be two things that will happen in your life from time to time. The first one is called purging. Look at verse 2. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. So here we see purging. And God purges two kinds of branches. First, he purges the branches that are not bearing fruit. Now please do not think that this passage is not about about Christians. Because I want you to notice in verse 2, it says, every branch in me. All right? So the branch is referring to the disciples, to saved people. And this is not the idea that we lose our salvation, that we're cut off from God. That's not the teaching of this passage. The teaching of this passage is that every Christian is a branch attached to the vine, Jesus Christ, and that from time to time, every Christian who is not bearing fruit is going to have a clipping of that which is dead in his life. He's going to have a pruning in his life in order that there might be fruit come forth from your life. But what is interesting to me is that not only does God prune the fruitless, but God also prunes the fruitful. Notice that in verse 2. He says, "And he that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that he may bring forth more fruit." Now, the word purgeth here is the Greek word kathairo. Sometimes you've heard the word catharsis. It means a cleansing. And God says, sometimes I need to cleanse your life. I need to cleanse the branch. I need to trim the branch in order that more fruit will grow. And so there is the pruning of the branch. Now, that may happen through a sermon. That may happen through a time of repentance of sin. That may happen through a trial, a car accident, a sickness, where we come to the end of ourselves and we say, "Lord, I don't want this to be about me. God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. God, I want to be right with you." I don't know how it always happens in our lives. I just know that God will purge us so that we will be rid of self and sin and be able to bear more fruit. F.B. Meyer said, "The branches of the autumn will well repay each stroke of that keen edge with fuller, richer fruit. So we gain by loss, we live as we die, the inward man is renewed as the outward man decays." Now, years ago, my father-in-law, he planted a couple of peach trees. And this is when we all moved to the Antelope Valley 30 years ago. And, you know, we're trying to figure out what grows here and what doesn't grow here and so forth. And I was a little surprised because I didn't realize how cold it got at night. And I found out you really cannot grow citrus unless you cover it. It's kind of difficult to grow citrus. But we found out that peach trees do really, really well. How many of you have ever had a good Antelope Valley peach in the spring or summertime? And they're very, very good here. And so we were learning all those things. So he planted these trees. And you know how peach trees are. The first few years, they might get a couple of peaches maybe. It takes him a little while to get going. And one day I walked into his backyard and he had taken these two relatively nice looking young peach trees and he had not just purged them, I mean he had butchered them. And I mean they looked like someone had planted two sticks in the ground with maybe a little couple ears coming off like this. And I walked back there in his backyard and I said, "Dad, you have killed these trees." And he said, "Oh no." He said, "They're going to do just fine." He said, "I'm just giving them a good start." And I thought, man, don't give me a good start like that. You know, that's not my way of thinking of a good start. But he had really just took them down to nothing. And I'm telling you, if we were to go over to that house right now, over here just a couple miles from here, and walk into that backyard, especially in the spring or summertime, those trees are huge and fruitful, and they bear so much fruit. Why? Because they had a man who purged them, and they had a man who watched over them and trimmed them. And I want to tell you something. Sometime you might feel like, boy, I'm going through such a trial, and I've been brought down so low. Or you might hear a sermon and you might think, boy, I've got to repent of that sin. I've got to get rid of that from my life. And you might feel like sometimes, God, what are you doing? Why are you allowing so much purging in my life? But even as I did not understand what my father-in-law was doing there, I want to tell you, friend, God knows what he's doing with your life. And when you go through a season of purging, don't get angry at God. He's simply bringing you to a place where you might bear more fruit. The second thing that God does in order to sustain your strength is he cleanses us. He cleanses us. Look at verse 3. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You see, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to the word." Why are we here this morning? Can I just say it to you this way? We live in a dirty world. Oh, yeah, smog. I'm not talking about the environment. I'm talking about the world system all around us. I'm talking about a world that fills your mind with cursing. I'm talking about a world that's full of corruption. I'm talking about a world that people get so mad at each other. And God says there's only one way to cleanse your life, and that's through the Word of God. And that's why we're here this morning, to hear God's Word. Because God says, if you're going to be sustained as someone that has strength, then you're going to sometimes be purged, and you're going to all times need to be clean by the Word of God. Or else, if you're not clean, you're going to be like that vine in the vineyard, that branch that's got all of the dross and all of the dead weight and all of the insects and all of the disease. And suddenly, you get to a place, because you haven't been in God's house, you haven't been cleaned by the Word of God, that suddenly you're bearing no fruit at all, and your life is just kind of existing but not fruit-bearing. And God's will is that we would all bear much fruit. And so we see the source of our strength, that's the vine, Jesus. And we see the sustaining of our strength, that's through the purging and the cleaning that God brings into our life. But then let's notice finally this morning, the stability of our strength. Now look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, our strength is up and down, both physically and spiritually. It seems like sometimes people are up and down. But how many of you thank God Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. So how do we have that constants in our own lives? Let me give you a couple of thoughts. First, abiding brings stability. Abiding brings stability. Now, we are not good abiders. Jesus says, abide in me. Say that with me, please.
Abide in me.
We're not good abiders. We're not good at all at abiding. It just isn't a part of our vocabulary, abide. We don't say that a lot, abide here. You know why? Because we don't abide. We go home, we eat our macaroni and cheese and hot dogs, we watch the news, we go to bed, we get up and leave, right? And we go to work, but while we're at work, we're thinking about what we want to do after work. And when we're at home, we're thinking about what else we have to do. And some of you right here, when it gets to be about 5 till 12, you'll be thinking about where you want to eat lunch. We have trouble abiding because we're always thinking ahead. That's just the American way. And God says, if you want me to continually give you strength, then you need to continually walk with me, think about me, talk to me. You need to abide with me. A lot of times we just come to God when there's an emergency. God, my daughter's in the hospital. Let's talk now. And God says, I'll talk with you then. My mercy endures forever. But I'd like to talk with you every day. I want you to abide in me. And we need men today who learn how to abide. And we'll see in a moment, a part of that is just learning how to pray. And how to really walk with God and listen to God. And thank God for men and women of God who learn how to pray. I read the story this past week about a revival meeting in 1934 conducted by an evangelist named Mordecai Ham in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mordecai Ham was an old-time preacher, and he had a tent set up over there in Charlotte, and people began to pray. And one farmer called all of his friends to come and pray at his farm. And they were praying for this meeting before Mordecai Ham came, and they prayed and prayed on his farm. And as they prayed, they felt compelled to ask God to raise up a man from their city that would carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that farmer said, let's pray for that. Let's pray that God raises up men and raises up a man that will take the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. Well, it was during that very revival meeting that farmer's son got saved. And while they did not have an immediate answer to their prayer, they began to see over the course of this young man's lifetime that indeed that farmer's son was the answer to the prayer of the farmer who abided with God. The farmer's son's name, Billy Graham. God raised him up because of a father who knew how to abide with God. What are you praying for today? Are you abiding with God? Are you seeking God's face for your children? Are you seeking God for your family? Are you abiding with Him? Do you talk to God? Do you ask Him to clean you and purge you and use you and help you to bear much fruit? Abiding brings stability. Now, the word abide means to remain and not to depart. To remain and not to depart. And I would encourage you this week to abide with God, to walk with God, to think of God. Three ways we walk with God is, one is in security. We are secure in Him. Ephesians 1 says that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And I want to ask you today, are you secure in your relationship with Jesus Christ? The Bible says after that you believe, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, at that very moment, God sealed me permanently. I belong to Him. He belongs to me. And I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to know that you are secure in Jesus Christ. Do you know that today? Is that settled in your heart today? Secondly, we must not only be secure in His salvation, but we must remain in His love. This is in your notes, I believe, but look at John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Would you say that, please? Continue. God says, I don't want you to just love me on the day that I saved you. I don't want you to just love me when you get baptized. I want you to continue. I want you to remain in love with me. He says, I'm remaining with you. I secured you. I want you to remain with me. And then we must remain under His leading. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, the Holy Spirit lives in your life, and He will lead your life, and He wants you to remain in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says there in Romans 8:9. The Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You know, years ago, there were some groups known in the Pentecostal movement who would teach that if you would accept Jesus as your Savior, and then later on down the road, you'd get the Holy Ghost. And that would always, according to them, be manifested with tongues and things of this nature. The problem, my friend, is simply this. You don't get Jesus one day and get the Holy Ghost one day. You receive Christ as your Savior, and you receive the Spirit at that exact same moment. And this is a verse that helps us understand that. Romans 8:9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. In other words, you cannot be saved if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we see that it is by the Holy Spirit that we can be led and directed in our lives with the Lord. And so abiding with God through His Spirit brings stability into our lives. And without God's guidance, there's no stability. But notice finally, abiding with God also brings fruit. Someone that's abiding in Christ will be a fruit-bearing Christian. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:7 says this, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God giveth the increase.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we're offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Paid in Full. It's yours when you make a donation to this ministry. Visit paulchappell.com to find out more. Chappell is spelled C-H-A-P-P-E-L-L.
Hi, my name is Paul Chappell. I'm the pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church here in Lancaster, California. As I have studied Hebrews chapter 11, and as I have studied church history over the years, I have been amazed by the sacrifices of men and women who have been willing to come outside the camp and take their stand in order that we might have the faith today. That's why I've written a new book entitled Outsiders. I believe that we need to be stirred again by the stories of these who were willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been said the men and women who changed the world are the men and women the world could not change. If you'd like to know more about these outsiders, you can do so by visiting strivingtogether.com. I believe it will challenge you and encourage you to take your stand in this generation. I hope you pick up a copy at strivingtogether.com. Outsiders, let's stand for Jesus Christ.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.